Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. On today's episode, we have a United States Women's National Team preview for you. The United States Women's National Team is going to face Australia in Australia, and that's a very exciting component. We're excited to get into the preview with everyone today. But first, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. You can also head on over to our YouTube page and hit subscribe to never miss a new video, interview, or whenever we go live. Plus, you can all catch great extended NWSL highlights. Head on over to youtube.com/attackingthird. Lisa, how you doing today?
Sandra, I'm good. I'm excited to talk some U.S. Women's National Team because we had a few matches in earlier this year, and we weren't sure that we were going to get these in late November in Australia. There was a lot of question marks surrounding these two. Then they came up on the schedule, and we have a new roster that we broke down right when it came out. We're going to run through it again for everyone because there are a lot of new faces, a lot of faces I am very excited to talk about, very excited to watch play in a red, white, and blue kit. I'm pumped about it, Sandra, but of course, I'm always just happy to see you and chat with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I told myself, you know what? It's always a good day when I get to see and hang out with Lisa. I feel like you and I often spend a lot of time together, and you know what? It's always good for the soul. It's like, let's check in, do a little check in. How you doing? Little mental health and wellness check in, and then we dip into this and we start doing our thing.
And with the end of the NWSL season, like our hangouts, they're not going to get any smaller or frequently. It's going to stay the same. So everyone listening, our content will stay as prevalent as it is and has been over the last few months, and as much as it has been, as hefty, we'll stay.
I'm giggling about it because it's just kind of like, yes, it's like we're just going to keep this train rolling. Like that's what we do here. And of course, even though, yeah, we had the conclusion of NWSL for 2021, that just means that we're going to get to talk about United States Women's National Team matches moving forward, at least for right now, this particular episode of this during this week. And that's actually a little bit of a transition because maybe we should start with the roster first, mm-hmm. Lisa, in this one, because we did just have that final match, the biggest match at the end of the year for NWSL, the NWSL Championship, where the Washington Spirit came out the victors over Chicago Red Stars 2-1, the first-time champions, a new champion in the league. And right after that match, a number of players had to, you know, get ready to head on over to Australia and get ready for camps to participate in this international window and close out the calendar year. So let's take a look at this roster for everyone, just to remind everyone what the deal is going into Australia. This was touted as one of the youngest rosters heading over to Australia for an international window in really ever. And that was really sort of the headlines around this one as people were getting excited for what could possibly be the next era of this United States Women's National Team. So for goalkeepers, they're taking three over to Australia. It's Bella Bigsby from Portland Thorns, Jane Campbell, Houston Dash, and Casey Murphy out of North Carolina Courage. The defender list is Alana Cook, Ole Rain, Abby Dahl-Kemper, now San Diego Wave FC, Tierna Davidson, Chicago Red Stars, Emily Fox, Racing Louisville FC, Sophia Huerta, OL Reign, Becky Sovereign, Portland Thorns, Emily Sonnet, Washington Spirit, and Imani Dorsey was added as a late addition to that defender core out of Gotham FC. The midfielder core is Lindsay Horan, Portland Thorns, Rose Lavelle, OL Reign, Katarina Macario, the lone representative of Europe from Olympic Lyon, Christy Mews, Houston Dash, Essie Sanchez, Washington Spirit, and Andy Sullivan, Washington Spirit. And to round out the forward cords, Bethany Balser out of OL Reign, Ashley Hatch, Washington Spirit, Margaret Purse, Gotham FC, Sophia Smith, Portland Thorns, Lynn Williams, North Carolina Courage, and Morgan Weaver, Portland Thorns. So a ton of NWSL talent on this one, Lisa. A lot of players on this one with under 10 caps or less, even more players with no caps, you know, in this list. And it really was a bit of excitement when the roster got dropped for these friendlies. And everyone was like, wow, like who's going to get the start? How's it going to look? What's it going to feel like? And then also even having like that extra addition and Imani Dorsey, where it's just kind of like, oh, like you're taking even more, right? So it's delightful to sort of see.
And why would Vlatko Andonovski not take more? This is a prime example and a prime opportunity for Andonovski and the United States to kind of try out anything, because these two matches against Australia, frankly, they mean nothing. It's really just a chance for Vlatko Andonovski to see which players fit well ahead of the January camp, because that camp really means everything in the national team eyes. But this roster was probably the craziest roster we've seen, and crazy in the best way possible. We did break it all down, so you can find that episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen, or it's on our YouTube page at youtube.com/attackingthird and listen to that full breakdown. But as Sandra said, there's a lot of younger players on this. Only 10 players on this current roster traveled to Tokyo for the Olympics this summer and won bronze. And the average age right now of this roster is 32 years old of 22 players. That's a lot of young talent. Two uncapped goalkeepers over 6 feet tall, which is fun fact and stat about this roster. But I think that this experience or lack of experience and young group is something that, is really Vlatko Andonovski's doing, because as a former coach in the NWSL, Andonovski understands how talented NWSL players are, how tough the league is, how competitive it is. And seeing that so many of them made it to the playoffs and so many of them even made it to the championship between Chicago and Washington, and then to get right on a plane and fly to Australia and do that. So he understands that side of the game for these players. And if you can push through a lot of adversity that was seen throughout the NWSL season, you can most likely do that at the national level. And I think that's what he's looking to see and find those pieces of younger players that can play bigger than their age and more mature than their age with a soccer IQ. And this is the biggest test for them, I believe, heading across overseas, down under to Australia to play against big competition in the Matildas.
Absolutely. It was good to sort of hear that. I think out of his sort of press conference, you know, post release of this roster, he alluded to all that as such, saying that this is going to be an important time, an important window, not because the games necessarily mean something in terms of, oh, playing for qualifications of an international tournament. No, that's not what it is. But Australia is a top-ranked team, and this is an opportunity for a lot of this young core in place to potentially get some looks in a high-level environment. And going to Australia also gives the added factor of that traveling element and having to prepare and travel and put that on, you know, that type of, you know, pressure on your body in terms of, you know, putting yourself through that kind of regimen. So I'm excited for this young roster to sort of get some different looks. He didn't allude to some things tactically, but you never know. I guess we'll see when these matches come into play. And it will be two matches, Lisa. It's on the schedule for two friendlies that's going to take place. It's going to be the first time that there's going to be a match at the very massive stadium in Australia in Sydney on Saturday, November the 27th. And that is going to be at 3 p.m. local time. But for the United States audience, that means that that game is coming right after what, Lisa? It's coming right after Thanksgiving. So if you're going to kick off your holidays, why not do it with the United States Women's National Team? That's going to take place on Friday, November 26th at 11 p.m. Eastern time. And audiences can watch that on Fox Sports 2. But it's an exciting time. I mean, it's Sydney's, you know, a very popular place. It's hosted a number of big sporting events. That stadium was specifically built for the 2000 Summer Olympic Games. And it's going to host a FIFA Women's World Cup final in 2023. And the second match for the United States and Australia will take place in Newcastle at McDonald Jones Stadium on Tuesday, November 30th. And that's going to be at 4:05 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN, Lisa. So we're going from real late night all the way to real early morning. It's when you saw that, did it bring back any memories of when you and I had to cover the Olympics this summer?
Oh, for sure. Olympic flashbacks with the caffeine and our hydration and waking up at 3 a.m. to cover these games and then talk about them going live afterwards. So many memories and really some of the best memories, let's be frank, but these games are exciting. And this will be the first time for the United States traveling to Australia since the year 2000, so over 21 years ago. And of course, it's a little precursor to the Women's World Cup that'll be happening in Australia and New Zealand in 2023. And as we remember during those Olympics this summer in Tokyo, waking up at 4 a.m., waking up at 7 a.m., it's similar vibes. Also because of the times that these games are kicking off, but also the competition. The United States played Australia twice in the Tokyo Olympics this summer. The first time it was in the group stage and ended in a 0-0 draw. The second time it was in the bronze medal match. That time the United States won. They brought home bronze to a score of 4-3. If anyone doesn't remember that, Megan Rapinoe had a brace. Carly Lloyd had a brace. It was actually a pretty interesting match, and I don't want to get too much into it because the roster looks completely different. It's different vibes. There's nothing on the line for either of these teams heading into this, and it really doesn't mean that much. But I think it is important to kind of look at the difference between the two times they met this summer, 0-0, and then 4-3. And then just remember that as you're watching these two matches that United States is about to play against the Matildas. But that 4-3 match against Australia in the bronze medal game was the highest scoring medal match in men's or women's Olympic history, which is nuts that the United States was part of that. It started really quick. Megan Rapinoe, she had the Olympio goal off of the corner kick. And then Sam Kerr equalized maybe 10 minutes or so later on that one. Megan Rapinoe had another one. It was the Olympics, if people are forgetting, it was sloppy. There was a lot of sloppy mistakes. There was offsides goals from Alex Morgan that were called back in this match. Missed clearances from both sides in the box, causing goals for the other team. One for Megan Rapinoe, one for Sam Kerr on a mistake from Tierna Davidson trying to pass out of the back. It was first touches that were really off on both sides. It was committing fouls that were silly fouls that didn't need to happen. Really just not the best game for either of these teams, I'm going to be frank. And I want to forget that because these two matches that are about to come up will be very, very different. Yes, there are 10 players on the United States rosters that played and won bronze in Tokyo. But in that bronze medal match, there are only 3 starters that are still on the roster. Only 3 for the United States in Becky Sauerbrunn, Lindsey Horan, and Tierna Davidson. The other ones are not on the roster anymore. So A.D. French, Crystal Dunn, Sam Mewis, Kelly O'Hara, Julie Ertz, Carly Lloyd, Kristen Press, Megan Rapinoe. They will not be playing against Australia. So it changes the entire look of really what this game is going to be. And we know that the United States, they played against South Korea and they won those matches. And Australia just played against Brazil. The first match was a 3-1 win for Australia. The second one was a 2-2 draw against Brazil. And in that match, Australia went up by 2 goals, and then Brazil came back and tied it up at the end of things. So these teams are both in very different places than they were in July and August during the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know what? It just these type of games between the Matildas and the United States women's national team, they always are a lot of fun. Like I had to put it that way, because some of those matches that you were running through was like taking me back down memory lane. And a lot of those were moments that they were like high level, like intense moments. But there's also a lot of those games that they just, both of those teams just went out there and put on a bit of a show. And that just, there's, I think it comes to that, maybe perhaps that level of familiarity that is, that exists a little bit between both these teams, both, yes, having played each other at the international level a few times, but also, you know, during an era of time in which there were a ton of Australians in the National Women's Soccer League, playing on club teams with their sort of United States Women's National Team counterparts, right? So the familiarity that is there, that exists, I think also sort of adds another layer of interest and intrigue to these kind of matches, you know, whether it's, you know, players like Sam Kerr, obviously, or Caitlin Ford, who had spent a lot of time in the United States. But, you know, players like Ellie Carpenter, who got her professional start in NWSL, like was touted as one of the youngest players ever at the time to be playing in NWSL. So I'm excited to sort of get to see those players in action again, you know, against the United States side. And it'll be interesting to sort of see the mentality that they're also bringing as well, because they're the hosts in this one, you know, and that sort of brings a little bit of a different energy to these type of matches, where we're sort of hearing how these games are perhaps going to look, feel, and be a certain type of way for the United States and head coach Blanco Adanowski, as utilizing them as real opportunities in front of them. But if you're the host in this one in Australia, you're probably looking at them like, you want to win these. Yeah. You want to win these games. And especially in perhaps that first match in particular, the one that is going to be taking place in Sydney, it's already generating so much excitement overseas. They're like talking about breaking a record for attendance. Wow. In that stadium, and ticket sales, how they're just like a few thousand away from like a sellout only. It's so impressive.
It is. And I imagine that there will be a lot of fans, because it is a rematch of an Olympic match, and people, they want to watch the Americans play. They also want to watch their own Matildas play. Even Australia versus Brazil, that those matches that happened late in October, there was a lot of people in attendance trying to cheer on these teams and see them in action. Once the Olympics happen and it ends, people are so hungry for their national team to play again. So they want to go see them. The attendance is going to be there for these teams. And you're right. I think the United States has a bit of a target on their back, because Australia's at home in front of a home crowd. They want to get these wins. This is like a pride thing as well for Australia going against the United States and the U.S. too. I mean, we talked about the roster and being a lot of uncapped players or under 10 cap players for the United States. These players are trying to prove themselves. So although in the minds of Vlatko Andonovski or even players like Becky Sauerbrunn, it's like, okay, let's see what we can do. And let's just play and see what kind of formation we can do and different players in different positions. If I'm a young player that has under 10 caps for the United States, and I know that January camp with Vlatko Andonovski is coming up, and then the World Cup in 23, I am putting everything out there on the field against Australia, because I want to prove my worth. I want to prove that I deserve to be called back time and time again. And if I don't start the first match, I'm going to try to start the second match, which I think we'll see some parity in starters throughout these two games against Australia.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think in terms of you and I sort of taking a look at this roster and then doing something like here's our starting 11 prediction. I think you and I in our content planning both kind of agreed, like there's so many new faces here that it would be hard to perhaps maybe nail something like that down. So I think you and I both agree that we wanted to take a little bit of a different route, maybe a familiar route for some people who have been with us listening to our show for a while now, but maybe kind of like the vibe of a wish list, like, oh, here's what we'd like to see, you know, like sort of get time in this match. But maybe we can go through it together and we'll just sort of take it down line by line. And Lisa, you know where I got to start. I mean, we're big fans of defense here. So we're going to start from the goal all the way to the front line. I mean,
bless you.
You know, I got to come correct. It's three new goalkeepers. Well, not new, but two new goalkeepers and Jane Campbell with less than seven caps under her belt in this United States Women's Senior National Team program. It's Bella Bixby, Jane Campbell, Casey Murphy, who are getting the looks in this training camp. Who would you like to see starting in goal for this one?
Honestly, I would love to see Casey Murphy, but my gut instinct thinks that it'll be Jane Campbell as a player who has been on the roster. She got the call up for the Olympics, but didn't see a lot of time as she was the third string at this point. And now when you look at these three, it's almost like Jane Campbell has to be that first string. And she deserves that. As a goalkeeping position, you rarely get rotated around. Rarely. So I think we'll see Jane Campbell start. I know Bella Bixby has gone through a lot off the field with a lot of family heartbreak and things like that. So I'm not sure where she stands emotionally. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe she didn't see time just to try to protect her mentally and things like that. But I foresee Jane Campbell getting a start, and I would hope to see Casey Murphy. I don't know. We could even see 45s.
I was going
to
say, like, what if we see like a little bit of a split at some point? You know,
I wouldn't
be surprised by that either. And also wouldn't hate it, you know, get your goalkeeper some looks, you know, maybe put your money where your mouth is a little bit, talking about how this was going to be an important time for all of these players, that part of it was going to, you know, be a little bit of a hardcore evaluation, and that, you know, the coaching staff is going to get a real look and see, you know, if players are going to rise up to this challenge. And if they don't, the coaching staff will find out very quickly whether or not, you know, these particular players are going to continue on in this next era of national team competition moving forward. But I'm with you. I think when it comes to the goalkeeping right here, you've got two of the goalkeepers who have zero caps under the belt. They're in these camps, obviously, for their very strong and impressive NWSL play. So I would love to see them get some time during these friendlies if they're both capable of that and have the space for that. But I look at Jane Campbell and her time with the national team, and it's hard to believe she's someone who has been in these camps very frequently, in and out. But that seven caps under her belt is not a large number, right? And this is a position that is probably one of the bigger in terms of being under the spotlight constantly. And we've seen lack of rotation in this position for the United States women's national team for a long time, since the inception of this women's national team. You can go back in its history and literally point out the two to now maybe three main goalkeepers of this team over the last three decades. So when I see somebody like Jane Campbell with the seven camps and going into this camp right here, I really want to see her get another start, if not two, during this time. So in terms of the defenders, let's take a look there. I think we've got a lot of familiar faces here, and we're going to maybe just go like throw out four of them. I would, of course, like to see somebody like a Tierna Davidson out there getting some more.
No surprise, Sandra.
You know, I think if you're going to still keep these young players in there, why not give Becky Sauer a run out there, you know, and sort of have her sort of be that anchor for all these players who don't have a lot of time out there? Because next to Becky Sauerbrunn, there's not a lot of caps under these defenders. You know, you've got Tierna Davidson with the least amount of the center backs, so I would like to see her there. And you know what? I'm just going to be like, throw caution to the wind and say I want to see Imani Dorsey on one side and I want to see Sofia Huerta on the other. I think put him out there, see what happens.
I love that. I love that. I agree. You have to keep Becky out there. I mean, we still got to get Becky Sauerbrunn a goal. And I foresee that they're working on those set piece opportunity plays where it's centered around Becky Sauerbrunn, and she's gonna notch a goal. I hope so, at least. So yeah, Becky Sauerbrunn deserves the start because center back is such a role that you have to be able to gel and learn from the players around you. And having a Becky Sauerbrunn who has 197 caps, she can teach even players like Tierna Davidson who played throughout the Olympics alongside Sauerbrunn. But it's a lot of learning and a lot of instructional organization that comes from those center backs. And you need Becky there to teach Imani Dorsey, Sofia Huerta, Emily Sonnet, even Emily Fox, how to kind of be that voice and that vocal leader in the back. So having Sauerbrunn in there is a must for me. I love seeing Imani Dorsey on the outside there, even Huerta. I would love to see a Fox and a Huerta, two players that can really get forward and get into the attack and send those crosses in, be that big attacking presence to get numbers up opportunities on the flanks. Players like that are so fun and good to see on the outside, but having a Becky Sauerbrunn in the center back can hold it down defensively. I could even see like a Dalkamper getting a start here, just based on everything that's happened and now yeah. announcing that she's going to San Diego Wave. I think she has a little bit more confidence in her game and her swagger now, knowing that Casey Stoney at San Diego is essentially building an entire club around Dalkamper. But I see Sauerbrunn for sure getting the start.
I'm in agreement with you on that. I think with the two games in mm-hmm. play, I think we're absolutely like, along with possibly that goalkeeper position, we're probably going to see a little bit of rotation at the center mm-hmm. back position as well, for sure. And obviously the outside back and fullback positions in this one as well, with the amount of candidates that are on the roster there. In terms of the middle third, it's a little bit of a mix, right? I think we're looking at the midfielder core that's invited into these camps, and you've got six midfielders here, and there are a few of them that have experience and have been with the team for quite some time, got World Cup wins under their belt. And then there are players who are still sort of making their way through with the national team, and other midfielders who are new to the space. So I think for either of these games, similar to the back line, I want to see a little bit of a mix. If we're going to see somebody like a Rose Lavelle on the pitch, I want to continue to see if a relationship and chemistry can be grown and developed between her and somebody like a Katarina Macario. I would love to continue to see that and see that moving forward. I would love to see somebody like Andy Sullivan continue to get looks at that defensive mid role, because so much of what was coming out post-Olympics was, you know, how heavy of an emphasis there was on somebody like a Julie Ertz, who has been still trying to rehabilitate post those Olympic games from her knee injury. So I would love to continue to see Andy Sullivan get some starts in these games as well. And I really do think with her 20 caps that this type of window, that is a player that Vlatko Andonovski is probably going to be taking a much closer mm-hmm. look at to keep in his midfield core moving forward. So I would definitely like to see her get some more looks during these Australia games.
How can you not keep an eye on Andy Sullivan? I mean, NWSL, she just won. She scored the penalty kick for Washington Spirit. She became an NWSL champion as a captain, one of the youngest captains in the league at 25 or 26 or so. Yes, I think that she needs to get the start. As we kind of talked about with Becky Sauerbrunn in the background, you need to have someone there that can play defensively. And when you look at this midfield core with Lindsay Horan, Rose Lavelle, Kat Macario, Christy Mewis, Ashley Sanchez, and Andy Sullivan is the defensive player of this crew. Lindsay Horan has tried to play that role, and she can do it because she's talented, but she is much more effective higher up in the midfield. So I think it has to be Andy Sullivan, at least to kind of start and to kind of feel out how Rose and Kat can continue to play together, and even throwing in an Ashley Sanchez in there, which I think will be really great to see because they both play together at Washington Spirit, Andy Sullivan and Ashley Sanchez. So I think that relationship there has already kind of started to grow between those two, which is really beneficial at this national team level. But to see a Sanchez in there with a Christy Mewis and an Andy Sullivan, ooh, I think that could be really, really fun to see. Even Kat Macario, Sanchez, and Andy Sullivan in there. I want to see that. But knowing the relationship between Sanchez and Sullivan already there from club play, it'll make the transition for Sanchez a little bit easier. But I foresee Sullivan in that sixth position. And then when and if she does get rotated out, which I'm sure she will, I bet Horan will slide in there, which is honestly just kind of a shame because Haranda is so much better higher up the field when she has the ball and she can be attacking minded and creative. But hey, you have to deal with the players you're given, and Julie Ertz is injured, and this is kind of where we are right now. So any sixes in the NWSL, like, keep playing great because you never know, they might need you.
Yeah, we'll see what comes out of these two games for sure and what it looks like in January. But we've still got to take a look at the front line. Lisa, similar to the midfielders in this one, there are six forwards on the roster here that we ran through with Bethany Balser, Ashley Hatch, Margaret Purse, Sophia Smith, Lynn Williams, and Morgan Weaver. I'm looking at all of these forwards, and the first thing that pops into my head is that I'm excited. I see all these names and I'm like, yes. And the first one that I'm rolling with is Margaret Purse, because despite her time that she had with the national team in the lead up to the Olympics and then being left off of that roster, she actually only earned 7 caps ahead of that big tournament. And the majority of them were all on the defensive back line at the outside back position. So I would absolutely like to see her get a look as a forward, listed as a forward in the front line. And I wouldn't mind to maybe see her opposite side, somebody like a Lynn Williams or a Sophia Smith, and sort of see that trio and what they can do. And perhaps maybe see some substitutions come into play and have somebody like a Balser or a Hatch with them as well, to sort of have that kind of forward who can evenly distribute and sort of score from all areas. These are both two forwards, and Balser and Hatch, who can score off their head, both their feet. And I think it's an exciting time. So I definitely want to see a mix at the trio for sure.
But we know how few caps this roster has, but going from the midfield, which probably has the most caps of this group and of this roster, then to the forwards, which most definitely has the least in Bethany Balser, 0 caps, Morgan Weaver, 0 caps, Sophia Smith, 10, Margaret Purse, 7, very, very few, Ashley Hatch, 2. Yeah, I'm so excited about this. And as you said, Margaret Purse being a forward, not a defender, is huge. And why would he put her there if he doesn't want to see her? So I foresee Purse getting a start, especially because she also has had a little bit of rest. Gotham being knocked out a bit early in the playoffs. So she's had some time to rest. She's actually been flexing her analyst muscles on some CBS sports shows, but now it's focusing and time to get into that attacking mindset for her with the United States team, which is a bit of a different look for her. So I don't know how fantastic she's going to do right off the bat. I mean, she will do great things, but I think there will be moments of adjustment for her because she has played defender under Vlatko Andonovski, and I could even foresee formation shifts through this team and maybe a 3-5-2-3, whatever we could see. I wouldn't be surprised if Vlatko Andonovski switches up formation. But how much fun would it be to see Margaret Purse, Bethany Balser, Ashley Hatch in the front line, just speed and skill. You also have to take a look at this group of forwards. And there's no one like a Carly Lloyd or even an Alex Morgan to play that holding 9, that center striker for this team. So those, I think, is really where he's going to be keyed in on. Could you put an Ashley Hatch there in the center of the strikers and be that holding forward to kind of keep her back to goal, play hold up ball, lay it off to the midfielders underneath of her? Could that be Lynn Williams? Could you ask her to play that role? I think that's going to be the biggest thing that I'm looking at, especially with this forward unit against a really good defensive team in Australia.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. And I'm sure you and I will be texting each other and trying to figure out here's a player that we were really excited to see. It's two games and it's two windows of games back to back. And it's a quick turnaround. So we're likely to see some rotation with the starts. For sure. And we're going to be keeping a close eye on it as sure as we can get. We do want to let our listeners know that these are not a window of games that we will be available for live recaps. We love ourselves and we are actually not going to do that to our brains and our bodies. But we will be around with recaps of the matches at a more reasonable time. And we want to thank you all, as always, for listening to us and our work here. Another quick reminder before we exit to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a question, Lisa and I will answer as part of our mailbag segment. And we're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/attackingthird. And we will be back Monday with more interviews and soccer coverage. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.